Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Cannabis Insider. I'm Pato Little.
And I'm Abby Higginbotham. Today, we are tackling how the cannabis industry connects with the banking world, something that we love to unpack here on the show.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Joining us in breaking down this complex area is Kevin Hart, CEO of GreenCheck Verified. Kevin has revolutionized how cannabis businesses connect with necessary financial services.
And with decades of experience in enterprise software and a deep dedication to cannabis operations, Kevin's here to help us understand how his company has created vital connections. So let's jump right in. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to Cannabis Insider. How are you doing?
Excellent. Hello, Abby. Hi, Pato.
Hi. We're so happy to have you on today. And so to kick off our conversation, can you kind of share how your extensive experience and kind of enterprise software and venture-backed companies kind of inspired the founding of GreenCheck Verified and maybe how it's shaping new financial solutions in the cannabis industry?
Sure. And I like extensive. That's a new politically correct way to say old. Somebody who's been involved in enterprise software for four decades. So thank you. I was approached to build actually a point of sale system for the cannabis industry based upon my background. And when I discovered the real challenge of access to financial and business services, it took a very different tact. And I've always been very intrigued by enabling everything through data, especially the raw data and how things work. And if you break down the challenge of what was the challenge, it's not the challenge today. It's been repaired, but it still has a ways to go on how the cannabis industry was going to connect to the banking industry in particular. It was always a data problem. You know, how are the financial institutions going to understand that they're working with good businesses that are conducting their business to the rules and regulations at that point in time, knowing that's ever evolving? And at a summary level, the way I've always described it is how they know they're letting the good money in and keeping the bad money out. And this is a challenge that the cannabis industry still has today in certain markets, illicit shops, et cetera, are popping up. And you can't expect financial institutions to stay on top of all those variabilities on top of what they also have to manage. So it always was and always will be a data challenge. And you have to be able to connect these entities together in the most efficient and meaningful way possible, but while maintaining that variability of compliance and rules and regulations that everybody actually needs and wants and should desire to have. So at a summary level, that was the genesis of GreenCheck, and that's always been our ethos to where we are today and will always be that way.
Thank you. That's a fascinating starting point. And as you just said, data and technology plays a crucial role in finance today. So we were wondering if you could discuss the technological innovations that GreenCheck has developed to facilitate efficient and compliant financial transactions for the cannabis businesses.
Sure. Thank you. Following on that whole data theme, we knew from the very beginning, the way we refer to it, we had to get the data at the atomic level. And that meant at the point of sale transaction and what was being bought, who was buying it, how often were they buying it, methods of payments, type of product. You have adult and medical mixed use markets, what products went each way. And those really are the rules that are set forth by the governing agencies, either at the state level and or what will come when rescheduling happens. And so we like to be forward focused, begin with the end in mind, knowing the rules and regulations are going to constantly change. So really took that first level approach of how do you monitor and transaction monitor each individual transaction, because you have to do so at that single dollar level. So we really spent the first 2 years of the company's existed designing how the platform was going to work from a technology perspective, because we not only had to make it efficient because we knew how the industry was going to scale against new states coming online, new markets coming online, new products coming online, interstate commerce, international commerce, all of those things. You couldn't inherit technical debt, which is a problem that a lot of tech companies do. So not only how do you scale forward, but how do you do it at the lowest price possible price point? We've never charged the cannabis businesses to be on the platform. There's enough expense associated with banking and financial services. We didn't want to create a layered opportunity where just to cover our cost of existence, where the tech stack drove the model of the business. Your technology stack should never drive your pricing. It should enable your growth. And that was a different mindset that we applied very early on. So we've been able to work well with our financial institutions, 164. We signed another new one last week, so after five new ones in May. And now we also have over 10,000 cannabis businesses all connected in the same platform. And our tech cost to operate that is highly, highly efficient.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And it's really, as you just described, a crucial role for today's cannabis industry challenges. Can you briefly tell us about like some of the common issues your clients come and talk to you about?
Sure. Well, focusing on the cannabis side, really has been, ease of access to the right business partners and finding them. And it extends beyond just banking. Banking is that's the point of entry and the starting for any business relationship. But how do the cannabis businesses operate and how do they know who to operate with? Unfortunately, there are a lot of bad actors out there. And we see these news stories all the time of them. And so how do the cannabis operators know not only who they should bank with, but then what are the other products and services that they need to operate? Think about payroll, think about cash logistics, think about insurance, et cetera. All of those additional businesses are data driven, and they need to know that they're working with a compliant cannabis business. And at the end of the day, everyone wants to make sure they get paid. There's another problem that the cannabis industry has had. Who do they work with? Who can they pay? Who can they trust? And who is going to pay them in reverse? So again, that's been where we're really spending a lot of our time focusing. And that's also why we bought the two companies that we bought in 2023, PayQuick and Complied, is how do you round that out and make it easier for the cannabis industry to work better with business and financial services? They have enough to do day in and day out, just owning and operating their businesses. They shouldn't have to think as hard as they had to historically. Who are they going to operate with?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
And I want to jump back to something you said earlier, just to kind of elaborate more. So with GreenCheck securing over 100 million financial requests recently, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but yeah. What are some of the approaches you're kind of enforcing to meet the unique demands that you kind of talked about of the cannabis market?
Well, because of the way that we partner with both the financial institutions and the cannabis businesses, I think one of the super cool intended outcomes of the platform with the transaction monitoring, when we talk to our financial institutions about this, be it banks or credit unions, they have more visibility to the financial health and well-being and trajectory of a cannabis business than they do of any other commercial account. And that's a mic drop moment. It's a hard fact set, because they get to see and monitor the activity of these cannabis businesses as operators at that single dollar level day in and day out. So they can see, hey, this business is doing very, very well. They're in a hot market. They have an opportunity to grow. There isn't a cannabis business that hasn't required capital to start and or to continue to operate. Let's look at lending into this cannabis industry. And, historically, there was no underwriting history. There was no predictability, and there certainly wasn't any visibility. So now we're seeing more and more financial institutions enter relationships with cannabis businesses to bank, to lend to them. The banking is just a requirement and a byproduct. It's much like you have to share your articles of incorporation, you have to share your license. Yeah, we're going to bank you. We're going to give you deposit accounts and operating accounts for payroll, but we really want to have you as a business partner and to lend and serve all the other components of your business. So we've really been able to leapfrog the industry forward into those sort of relationships where I would say across the board, with all our lending partners, and some are much bigger than others, that we could say that there's $1 billion in capital through our financial partners into the cannabis industry that's being monitored via the platform in the deposit relations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's progress. Appreciate sorry?
That's progress.
Exactly. Now, yeah, and also building, I mean, you just mentioned the importance of partnerships and building on that. We were just talking about the importance of the partnerships with Brinks and the integrations with Coda Capital, which seems to be really interesting moves. So we wanted to ask you, how do these collaborations enhance GreenCheck's offerings, and maybe what new capabilities do they bring to your clients?
Well, I'll go back to the whole concept of, and it's called GreenCheck Connect. It's the marketplace. How do cannabis operators find the right and proper curated and vetted partners to work with inside their ecosystem of what they're looking for? So if you look at a Coda Capital, they already have a banking relationship, and it could be with any of those, you know, 160 plus financial institutions. But that doesn't mean that financial institution is still willing to lend. We have a subset that's about a 40% lending rate across all those FIs. So that still leaves a lot of cannabis businesses looking for lending. Coda Capital, and there are others out there. We work with Funcana as another example, but Coda Capital is looking to do higher end loans, higher value loans, not higher end. And they want to work with the financial institutions that maybe they don't want to lend directly, but they have capital in the deposit accounts for those cannabis businesses. And they'll participate in loans with Coda Capital. So Coda Capital will do the work. They'll be the front line. But the financial institutions can then participate by pooling the funds and working with Coda Capital. And the beauty of the Coda Capital model, which is something that we're quite excited about to be partnering with them, is the financial institutions in first position of recovery. So again, because of that transaction monitoring and account monitoring, that next layer up from transaction monitoring, everybody has a better window into the health and well-being of any individual business on the platform. And so it's that integrated single platform, single data view, single participation view that just makes it simple for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Super clear.
We're jumping around a little bit here, but, you know, I want to talk about new markets. Obviously, that can be challenging. What do you employ to ensure success in market expansion and adoption of your services in different states or regions, especially with the cannabis industry constantly changing? I think that's like a kind of a dumbed down way to say that, but.
No, I wouldn't say that at all, Abby. How do we do that? I make sure we hire people way smarter than me. So we have multiple compliance teams within the organization. So we have our cannabis compliance team and knowledge team that is constantly, thank God for people like this. They like to read rules and regulations. And then, okay, what does that look like? How is it going to evolve? There's a new state coming on. There's a new a change in a state's market from adult use to mixed use with the recreational adult use. What is that? How does that impact the rule sets? And this is where you can't expect financial institutions to sit there and understand cannabis regulations and banking regulations. So the platform and the data does that for them. And then, you know, you move that forward and you start thinking about what's going to happen when rescheduling. Okay. You know, the magic question will probably come up later when that actually happens. Okay, because now you're going to have interstate international commerce. And the one thing we can all guarantee, aside from the fact that today is Monday, is that the federal government is going to make this more complex. They're not going to make it easier. Rescheduling is more rules and regulations, which means more things that have to be monitored and therefore enabled for the business to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that insightful answer. And now let's jump right into the magic question then. with cannabis potentially rescheduled to Schedule 3, what major regulatory challenges do you foresee for financial institutions, and how is GreenCheck preparing to assist them?
Well, because we took a compliance-first posture from the very beginning at that simple atomic data level, We have the technology and the infrastructure. It's codifying what the rules and regulations are going to change. The one of the wrinkles here will be the variability of the hierarchy of the rules and regulations. So in today's world, at a state market, you have state, county, city, but sometimes the city rule sits over the county and vice versa. Now we're going to have to figure out how the federal rules and regulations are going to layer in. At the same time, the states are going to come back and go, wait a minute, because rescheduling basically says the adult market is now in this whole new world that we're going to have to refine again. The states are going to go, no. We already said that you can do this. And so now we're going to have to figure out the hierarchy of the rules and the applications. We'll have to do that. And again, you're going to start seeing international and interstate commerce come into play. And that's going to make it a lot trickier, especially for the financial services side of the equation as to the source of the product. Because one of the things that you always have to make sure of is that the product that's being sold was from a reliable, trusted, certified source versus somebody selling their buddy's weed out the front door. That's money laundering. That's illicit sales. So we do that today, but now the complexity of that supply chain of commerce over the supply chain of the plant is going to become more variable. We're in an exceptional position to take advantage of that because of the posture that we took from the beginning and maintained always. But it will be interesting to watch it unfold. Timing is going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Quick follow-up on that. Do you think that these contradictions between federal and state laws with rescheduling would maybe bring more judicial problems, lawsuits, maybe that could also bring some shape also to the cannabis industry in terms of, like, again, justice coming into and saying this has to be this way or another?
I think the cannabis industry is too litigious already. That's not going to be a popular statement for me to say, because if you start a business and a major factor of your success is predicated upon what you're expecting somebody else to do, I would argue you probably don't have a really good business model to begin with. And so, there's the timing of that. And some folks are already taking advantage of 280E, et cetera. That's a fine line. I'm going to stay way away from that one in terms of how they operate. So I think the most important thing that everybody can do is the rules and regulations as they are today are fairly well defined. We have some guidance as to what they could be in the future. Be as best prepared as you can for that, but don't count on any of those in particular, specifically 280E and the timing of that as to how you're going to operate your business. Because one thing that we're seeing in all the news stories, et cetera, is the price pressures for the cannabis industry and, the people using commoditization pricing, et cetera. Now, I think that is going to be the challenge, especially as bigger markets and interstate and international commerce comes into play. That's going to be the rub. And then that will go to your direct question, Pato. Okay, I thought this was going to happen. That's somebody else's fault. I want to go after them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying that.
Nobody wins there. I think one of the interesting things here is George Bernard Shaw, not to get too academic here, he had a quote, we learn from experience that man never learns from experience. So it's applicable here. All right. We started Green Check. It was in 13 states and we knew it was going to evolve, but every time it happens, the states make some of the same mistakes. We see some of the same problem. We hear some of the same issues, and you would like to think, and there's been a lot of progress too, but you would like to think that Washington at large would be listening and learning from those things. And when you read rescheduling in detail, it's obvious they have not listened.
Absolutely.
At all.
I want to make a quick plug here. Kevin, for those who are listening, Kevin and I did an interview where Kevin actually went in detail on this topic. So if you have not read that, make sure to check out benzinga.com for that. for that in-depth interview with Kevin. But Kevin, switching topics here a little bit, you've mentioned in the past the potential for the cannabis industry to surpass 100 billion by 2030. So what role does kind of fintech play in achieving this growth? What does Green Check contribute to this vision?
We like to think our primary purpose is frictionless economy. You know, again, you have each of these respective industries and all the subsets of those industries that are trying to grow and operate their businesses in the rules and frameworks of which they have. Okay. And so, you know, a cannabis operator doesn't want to have to wake up every single day and think about beneficial ownership and account monitoring, transaction monitoring, et cetera. Their lives are hard enough. They know they need a bank account. They need to be able to make payroll. They have vendor payments, et cetera. They want to run a business. We think we play a major part in that. On the whole back end, on the financial services, the same is applied. They want to work with this industry. You know, it is especially community-based. We can't deny that. We can have conversations about MSOs and large corporations, et cetera, but the cannabis industry still heavily focused in community-based. You have community-based banks and credit unions that are serving this industry. You want to have those connections. They want to be able to operate. And so let the rules and regulations change. Let those things evolve. And you know, this is, we've lived our lives this way all along. Again, some of us are older, but you know, I can remember growing up when the age for voting age changed, okay? And certainly the drinking laws changed. It went from 21 to 18, and then it went back 19, 20, 21. It went back and forth all the time. And so these regulated industries that are precursors to cannabis, not as complex, are out there. Don't discard those lessons that were learned. Let's figure out how to make sure that they work well and so that everybody can participate as effectively together, as opposed to trying to create this, you know, that it's where everybody's trying to get over on the others. That shouldn't be the case at all.
Absolutely. And a very insightful answer. Thank you very much for that. And for your time, Kevin. And as we close, are there any future plans or final thoughts you would like to share about Green Check's role, in shaping the cannabis financial landscape?
We like to think that, and I say this without ego on my part, we've got a lot of great people here at this company, and we've worked with, you know, the number of financial institutions and cannabis businesses. We'd like to think we've made a major dent in making this easier for everybody. Nobody should have to wake up thinking about rules and regulations and, you know, how that's going to impact the operations of their business or their relationships with other businesses. And so if we can make that easier, we can continue to remove the friction and enable the commerce, then I'll know that we've done the job that we set out to do and that our customers are very happy with us for doing. They say it themselves.
Thank you very much.
Well, Kevin, I think that's a great point to leave off on. It's been honestly illuminating to discuss cannabis finance with you. So thank you for coming on today. Please come back anytime. And until next time.
Always. Thank you. I appreciate it.